there. This is Alexis Joy, your co-host of the Borrowed Wisdom for a Better Body Summit. I'm so excited to be interviewing today's special guest, Lori Gardner. This series is about getting a body that you love and creating the health and vitality that you deserve. There's so much mixed up information out there about dieting, nutrition, and wellness. We knew it was time to get trustworthy experts together who could give you the most cutting edge, honest information and strategic and doable advice for making lasting change to your body and health. So I'm beyond thrilled to have Lori here because I know what a huge impact her work can have. Welcome, Lori.
Hi, Alexis. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited you're here. So before we begin, I'm going to tell everyone a bit about you. Lori Gardner has helped thousands of people over the past 20 years to have a healthier, happier life. Lori is a personal development coach, health educator, former fitness trainer, and certified master practitioner in over 24 traditional and alternative wellness techniques. Lori received degrees in comparative world religions, psychology, and education from Harvard, where she also taught quantum physics. Lori is authentic, humorous, and inspirational, and passionate about helping you thrive. Today, Lori is going to share with us why chemistry and not calories are the key to burning fat and keeping it off, the deeper causes underlying your physical body issues, why you're not reaching your body goals and how you can reach them, and so much more. Lori, again, thank you so much for joining me. I just know that what you're going to share can be really transformational for our Borrowed Wisdom community of listeners, so thank you. So before we get into my many questions for you, because I have a lot, can you take a few minutes and share how you got to this point in teaching what you're teaching around health and body?
Absolutely, and if it's okay with you, I'd love to share just a brief excerpt from my book, The Road to Shine, which really answers just that very question.
Absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay, so this this section is called Be a Sexy Mama, Learn to Love Your Body. I had struggled with weight and body issues ever since grade school. I was a really chubby kid, and where I grew up, anything more than 5 pounds overweight was considered morbidly obese. The beauty icons back then were Twiggy and Cheryl Teagues. The playground bullies had a field day with me. Hey, fatty, want to play four squares? What are you going to be for Halloween, a pumpkin? My mom decided to make me her personal makeover project. Shortly after I put on my first real bra at age 13, she announced, "You're going to need breast reduction surgery. I strongly suggest a nose job to go with it." I didn't do either, but when I was 12 pounds overweight in high school, she enrolled me in Weight Watchers. Soon, the whole family was in on it. Whenever my relatives came over for the holidays, they would comment on whether I looked thinner or heavier than the last time they'd seen me. By the time I was 17, what really needed making over was my self-esteem. Once I left home, I became my own harshest critic. I felt fat and ugly most of the time. Trying to hide my big nose, I never let anyone take a picture of me in profile. Even though my bra size is average, I was convinced I had oversized boobs. It's a miracle I didn't develop an eating disorder. I certainly have great sympathy for young girls who do. I wanted to like my body. So that's really where I started, Alexis. I was the ugly duckling in a very fit and fashionable family.
Or so you were told.
Yes. Or so the family stuff continues. But yes, that. And I was very fortunate in that I really do feel like I could have gone one of two ways. I could have just completely self-sabotaged and hated my body and become bulimic or anorexic or anything else. Like many girls from that area, it was the greater New York area, did become. But in my case, I just became absolutely obsessed with good health and fitness and determined to love my body and to feel good about my body despite where I came from.
Wow. That takes a lot of strength and resilience to not just get bogged down by the negative messages that you were getting it and turning it into something positive. Lori, that's quite inspirational. Can we start our conversation with some basics? You teach people about whole self-health, and I would love for you to talk about what that is. What does that mean?
Yeah, you know, I am very much a strong believer that as beings, as bodies, every part is related to the other. And so, you know, a lot of people use the term holistic health, whole self-health, and And at least, again, where I came from, people think, oh, that's so earthy, crunchy, or granola. What does that mean? But when I break it down, it's really important. How we feel emotionally completely affects how we present ourselves physically. We can be feeling sorry for ourselves if we have a cold or get sick or if we injure ourselves, or we can completely reframe that to learn from it into a spiritual lesson. So you can't break apart just your physical being from your emotional being, from your intellectual being, from your deepest being.
I love that. I absolutely love that. You talk in your work about how people need to listen to the messages that their bodies are sending them, and it sounds related to this. And I'd love for you to talk about how we can actually get in touch with our bodies and listen to the messages they're telling us.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I think what is hilarious is it's such a common reaction, right? Many of us just say, whoa, body, how can you do this to me? Like somehow we are not our bodies, right? Like we actually physically get angry at our body. Like, I can't have a cold right now. This is an important first date. Or what do you mean I'm getting a zit right on my face? Like, no way. This is an interview that I care about. And so we think it's like we're in this weird it's me versus my body type mentality. And in reality, I also, among my other work, I do intuitive readings, and that's some of the wellness and energy work that I've learned is really how do you get underneath to what's really, really going on. And what I find time and time again, not only with myself but with all of the people that I coach, is that when your body is acting up, whether you suddenly or not so suddenly have your body break down in an injury, whether you get sick, whatever is happening for you physically, your body is trying to tell you something. So I'll give you a story from my own life. I used to run a nonprofit for 20 years that was all about changing public education and making sure every child had a quality school. And this was terrific work and really mission-driven work, but I just pushed myself so hard. I was working sometimes 20 hours a day, sleeping four, waking up, doing it again, you know, doing 100 other things at the same time, volunteer work, trying to date this guy. And one weekend I was over at his house rearranging his living room because it was just the feng shui, the whole place just felt like a bat cave. I was like, dude, like nobody wants to sit in here because it just feels like a bachelor madness. And anyway, I moved his, it was like this speaker thing up on this pole, this stand. And just as I was going to move it, he didn't have a chance to tell me it wasn't attached. And so this heavy speaker cascaded down from 8 feet high and just smashed my right foot. Just, I mean, it was like, it didn't even bleed. It was just like traumatized. It just turned white. Yeah. And so long story short, I ended up in one of those foot walker cast things for like a year. Now that's my right foot. I couldn't walk. I couldn't drive. I couldn't do anything, right?
Wow.
And so my first reaction was a normal one, like, yeah, how can this happen? And not now, and what? And me against my body. And then after sitting there for a while, like weeks, it finally started dawning on me, okay, what is my body trying to tell me? And honestly, it was a huge message when I really listened that my body was trying to tell me, slow down. If you're not going to listen, we've tried giving you smaller signals, you know, we tried giving you a couple colds here and there, we tried, you know, making you exhausted some mornings, like you weren't paying attention, you just kept jacking yourself up with mochas and you kept going. So, but, you know, it's like all the cells got together, took a vote, and we're like, all right, flatten her, let's flatten her. So, yeah, learning to slow down was a huge lesson in my body. And the second one was, which I don't know, I think a lot of your listeners probably have this too, we just get into this superwoman mode where because we can do everything, we try to do everything. And I wasn't asking for help. And the second big lesson from that that was deeper that my body taught me during that time was it's okay and, in fact, it's important to be able to ask others for help. It gives other people pleasure to be able to give to you.
Oh, thank you for sharing that story, Lori. I think a lot of the conflict we feel often around listening to the messages of our body are around food, and I'd love for you to speak to that. Like, when are we really hungry? When are we full? When are our cravings really, when should we be listening to them? And when is it just like we're on a sugar rush?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And I think that it is funny because food, I live in the Bay Area, and this is like foodie heaven over here, right? Everybody is concerned about food, but it makes sense, right? This is a major, not only survival thing, but it's social. And there's all sorts of family messages around food. And so some of the tips I like to give around food, I call them fun with your food. And some of the key things there are especially in America, around portion control and making good choices. And so I think, and it's psychological, again, going back to our holistic theme, right? So for me, for example, I don't do well when somebody says, you can't have. Right? So if it's like, oh, you should only put tiny little, you know, dollops of this and that on your plate, or why don't you have the lettuce leaf and cottage cheese? Like, no way. That is just not, that makes me want to eat an entire thing of Ben and Jerry's just because you told me I had to eat the lettuce leaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the techniques and tips that I suggest to people is what I call the half and hold, right? So go ahead and put everything on your plate that you want. Go ahead and heap it high. I don't care. But start off by only eating half of that plate. And then stop and rest for at least 30 seconds to a minute. Now, if you are genuinely hungry, go ahead then and eat half again of what's left. And then stop and rest again. And so by allowing yourself, you know, you're not doing the deprivation thing. You're not saying, no, you can't. It's like, no, go ahead, heap it high, but then check in. Eat and then stop. And if you're still hungry, only then do you continue. This is a technique that helps people, and speaking from my own experience, of just having it both ways. I can have what I want, but I'm also going to listen and not just gorge myself. Forget the clean plate club. Like, that was over in the 70s. Like, let's leave that one alone.
I love that technique. Do you have other strategies for realistic, sustainable ways to choose healthier foods over non-healthy foods?
I do. And, you know, I just, as we'll talk a little bit later about some of the things I'm doing, but I just put together a cookbook called The Busy Girl's Kitchen, Healthy, Delicious Recipes You Can Make in 15 Minutes or Less. And for me, I mean, by the time it's dinner time, I've worked a full day, I've exercised, whatever, I'm hungry. And there's sometimes when I love to, you know, cook these elaborate hour-long preparation meals, but most of the time I want it. I want it quickly, and I want it now. And so for me it was really important, as you're saying, rather than grabbing something not healthy just because it was there, to look at whole foods and recipes that I could put together in tasty ways that are also quick. And so for people that are in the same position where you don't have a lot of time, you do get hungry, and so you want to eat it within a fairly short time frame, I would say, first of all, avoid the packaged foods. You know, if there's a long list of ingredients on the back of whatever it is, and I don't care if it's coming from a supposedly healthy grocery store or a supposedly organic brand, flip it over and read the back. And if there's more than 3 to 5 ingredients, or you can't pronounce half of the things in there, don't buy and prepare that. You can probably just as quickly cook up something yourself that doesn't have all the additives and the chemicals and the scary things that you're not sure how your body will react to them. So that's the first thing, is avoid those. I call that, you know, tip, keep it simple, sexy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eat the whole foods and avoid the packaged ones when you can. Another good tip for eating healthy is what I call going green. And I don't mean you have to buy a Prius or whatever. What I mean is that literally for each plate that you prepare, you should envision and literally put on there 3 times as many vegetables as you have anything else, carbs, healthy fat, and protein. So as you're preparing your plate, I don't know, let's say we're doing dinner, I might just saute up a bunch of kale and olive oil and garlic. That takes 3 minutes. And then I love salmon, so I'll fill the plate with 3 times as much kale. Then I'll put about an iPhone-sized portion of salmon on there. I love sweet potatoes, so I'll mash them up with cinnamon into like a mashed potato sweet potato. and I'll, you know, maybe have a little blob of avocado because I eat avocado like 3 times a day.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah, and so again, this is super tasty and good and fast. But that 3-to-1 rule, that 3 times as many veggies per anything else plate, and trying to have 8 to 10 servings of veggies a day, that's another easy rule to remember. Like, okay, did I just eat a plate of pasta and there's no vegetable on there? Maybe it's not exactly 3-to-1, but it's a little reminder to have the veggies.
Lori, what do you do and what do you teach people and what do you do yourself around making those good decisions over and over and over again every single day? So it's just so easy to grab a highly processed granola bar than it is to walk to the corner store and get an apple. Like, what kinds of things do you do in your daily life and what do you teach people to do to kind of keep them on track?
Yeah, and this is related to what you asked before. You know, for me, what's really important is to pay attention to your body's cravings, because there are healthy cravings and there are unhealthy cravings. And until you get used to it, it's really hard to tell the difference, right? Because your body just wants it, and you don't know if your body at first wants it because it really needs it, or does it want it because you're stressed out or you're, you know, depressed or otherwise in some sort of emotional eating pattern. And
right.
So a surefire way to tell, well, let me back up a little bit. There is such a thing as a healthy craving. And I know that cravings have gotten a bad rap. Often people say, oh, well, if you have a craving, it must mean it's to something bad. Oh, you're craving caffeine, you're craving alcohol, you're craving sugar. And sometimes that is honestly an unhealthy craving. With sugar, for example, so many of us, especially in the U.S., we have so much sugar that's added to our food, and we eat so much sugar, even healthy sugars like fruit and fruit juices, that many of us have developed candida, which is literally a sugar-eating yeast in your intestine that causes you to crave sugar. And I don't just mean when you're PMSing. I mean, like, all the time, right? And so if you're constantly craving sugar, you might even be asking yourself, wow, I wonder if I have that little yeast greebly in there or some imbalance. So that might be an unhealthy craving, for example. But as a healthy example, the other day I was shopping in Whole Foods, and I am not a salty snacker. I'm definitely the brownie girl, the B&J's, Ben & Jerry's girl. Like, I don't usually go for chips, but I absolutely needed these plantain chips. And I don't even really eat plantain chips. I mean, I had them a few years ago in South America, and I was like, oh, my God, I ate the whole bag, and my body, it's like I couldn't, I'm stacking them like 4 or 5 on top of each other and shoving them into my face. I'm like, what? I was like, what's happening? And I looked on the back, and it's because plantain chips have tons of potassium and other ingredients, iron and vitamins, that my body wasn't getting. And I read and did a lot of research on this, where some people who have, let's say, really low sodium in their makeup will literally be eating, I'm not kidding, teaspoons full of table salt, because their body is like, give me the sodium, low in electrolytes. And they're also experiencing the same thing, like, why am I eating this right now, but my body is just inhaling it. And so that's an example of a healthy craving. Now, the surefire way to know the difference, because, again, at the time it feels the same, right? You just, it's like
right.
Something has invaded your body and is like, must have chocolate cake or whatever. But the difference is how you feel afterward, because when you have a craving for something your body really needs, like sodium or potassium, afterward, when you satisfy that craving, you feel much better. On the other hand, if it's an unhealthy craving, like, oh, I'm just going to pig out on sugar, you feel, I mean, have you ever eaten too much Halloween candy or overdone, like, you feel gross. Your body feels nauseous, you feel sick, you might get a headache. So you learn over time, okay, right, sugar craving, probably not a good thing. Ooh, that weird platinum, you know, plantain chip craving, oh, I think I need potassium and iron again.
Right, and what you do is basically learn by your reaction. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. You'll learn by your reaction. And some things are just common sense, you know, and also checking in with yourself emotionally. So if you're like, God, I think I need to drink an entire bottle of whiskey, Probably not. You know, you've got something emotional going on there you might want to check into. If you've just managed to eat the entire, you know, half gallon of ice cream in 5 minutes, there's definitely something deeper going on. And that's, again, the whole body health of emotionally what's driving me toward this food right now. Because what you put in your mouth starts in your mind.
Right. Totally. I love that. Lori, I want to make sure that we talk about what you teach around our hormones and our body chemistry versus calories. So you teach people why it's chemistry and not calories that are the key to burning fat and actually keeping it off. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. You know, and this is, for me, one of the most exciting latest research developments, that everything's hormones, hormones, hormones. And it's very much true. You know, when I was a personal trainer in my 20s years ago, the model, which is still around, was it's all about calories. And the thought back then was, okay, well, if you can simply burn more calories than you're putting into your body, you'll lose weight. But what we were finding is that wasn't the case. I mean, how many women were walking around with these giant, I mean, like bucket-sized low-calorie drinks or eating low-fat popcorn, and the calorie intake was minimal, but they weren't losing any fat.
Mm-hmm.
So nutritionists and doctors and researchers started saying, okay, there has to be more than it's not just a bank account of, you know, what comes in versus what goes out. What else is coming into play here? And so then we started looking at hormones and which hormones impact metabolism and fat burning or fat storage. And there are entire bodies of research around this, but just to boil it down, what they found, which is really fascinating, is that that is the key determinant, our hormones, and our hormones being imbalanced and maximizing the timing of when we're kicking in those fat-burning hormones and not, that is what causes you to finally get rid of the belly fat, the fat around your thighs, all those stored areas of fat. And another key thing that it's related to are food intolerances. So let me put the two pieces together. What a lot of people have, without knowing, myself included, previously, was, you know, we're eating these things that our body may not be overtly allergic to. I'm not breaking out in hives when I drink a thing of milk, or I'm not feeling hungover after eating a pizza or gluten, but that our bodies don't tolerate well. And so when your body thinks something is toxic to it, it doesn't like it, the very first thing it's going to do is try and keep it out of your bloodstream, right? It doesn't want it to go to your heart and to your brain, which the blood would take it to those places very quickly. So instead, it first stores it as water weight. So if you ever notice yourself bloating after certain foods, it might be that your body has some sort of intolerance. And so first it's like, all right, just get it out of the bloodstream, you know, put it into the water weight. Let's just store it in a safe place. And then if you keep eating those things that your body just hates, then it's like, okay, well, let's start building up fat and storing it in fat because, again, it's safer to keep it tucked away in the fat cells than it is to let it run around in the blood. And so that's another key way to burn fat, is to really start paying attention. And this is what I do with people when I do the coaching programs, is taking a closer look at what they're eating and what their particular body might be reacting to. Because as soon as you strip those out, I mean, I lost 12 pounds in 2 weeks once I stripped out gluten, and I didn't even think, I thought, oh, that's one of those fads. I don't want any part of the gluten-free movement, you know. And I was like, all right, I'll try it for 2 weeks. I dropped 12 pounds. I started burning food so quickly. I mean, skinnier than I was ever. So you'll learn. And going back briefly to the chemistry, the hormonal aspect of it, so in addition to the food tolerance, is another key piece that, you know, again, a lot of this research has been done with just really super fine-tuned athletes who are paying attention to literally every cell and reaction in their body every minute of the day and every activity they do, but they apply to normal schmooze like me and you, you know? So the chemistry thing, another key part that they've discovered about hormones is the timing. And so some of the studies were focused around, all right, well, they discovered that it's really important, for example, in the first hour that you wake up, first of all, drink a glass of water, not only because we get dehydrated when we sleep, but that kicks on your hormones. That kicks on your metabolism, the ones that are in charge of breaking down your food and digesting it and burning it. So wake up, drink a glass of water, and within the first hour, it's really important to do one of two things. Either to eat something and start metabolizing, or if you're like me and you're just not hungry when you first wake up for a while, then that's when you move your body. Go exercise, go for a walk, but get your metabolism turned on through physical activity.
Mm.
And there are lots more timing.
Oh, those are great.
Yeah, lots more timing pieces we could talk about, but just a couple quick examples.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. I was going to ask you if you could talk about, I mean, so many people make resolutions around their bodies at New Year's and at other times. They make commitments, and then they just don't reach those goals. They just can't stick with it. And I know that you really help empower people to find those reasons why. And can you talk about why you think so many of us fail to reach those goals that we make for ourselves?
I do. I can. And, you know, I think the first thing, even reaching backward before you look at why are we not reaching them, is are you clear about what your goal is? Because some people are, when you look at the actual goal itself, it's really vague. Like, yeah, I don't know, I want to have more energy, or I guess I just want to lose weight. Well, okay, that's a great start, but let's get more specific. Are we talking about 5 pounds, 25 pounds, 2 pounds? What kind of weight are we talking about? And what timeline do you have in mind? Because when people are like, yeah, I want to lose 20 pounds, you know, in time for the wedding next month, I'm like, okay, are you planning on keeping it off? Or,
right.
You know, are we just going to do like the juice diet and you're going to lose it for, you know, the wedding and then it's going to come right back on? So that's the first aspect, is let's look at your goals and timelines. Are they clear? Are they realistic for what you want to do? And some people find that that was the reason why they're not reaching their goals, is that their goal itself needed to be adjusted. So you can't reach an unrealistic goal or an unclear goal. So that's the first place, is go back to the actual goal itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing that's really important to notice is, as you're on your path toward achieving whatever goal it is you have, let's say you do want to, I don't know, you want to lose your belly fat. I would love to, you know, I tend not to deal just in number of pounds because of the old model of weight being the true indication of your body's health is also now proven to be not true, as we've discovered that many people, as they get more muscular and in shape, they actually weigh more as they become denser and more fit than fat. So the bathroom scale, you know, throw it away unless you're getting one of those kind that shows you the breakdown of water and fat and bone and is really going to do the body composition like you can buy for $50 at Bed Bath & Beyond or whatever. But straight pounds, that doesn't tell you anything either, not really. And so the next thing is to say, okay, let's say my goal was I really would love to fit better into my favorite skinny jeans. Okay, great. That's a realistic goal. Well, let's look at what causes you to fall off the wagon. You know, my client will say, Lori, I was doing really, really well, and then we had this family event, and there was nothing I could do. I mean, there was all this food there, and I just blew it, and, you know, I was back east with my family for a week, and we were just eating all the time, and I didn't want to insult the people who were cooking it by not eating it, or I didn't want to be like the weirdo who was eating kale or drinking my protein smoothies. I don't know. I just gained it all back, you know, at Thanksgiving or whatever. And I said, okay. I would say, okay, let's look at those triggers then. So what I'm hearing you say caused you to fall off the wagon was, you didn't want to hurt other people's feelings. You put other people before yourself. Okay, interesting. Family and social pressure. Okay. You know, and you start looking at, all right, if these are your triggers, social situations, social pressure, not being able to stand up for your own needs in place of not wanting to hurt somebody else, now we can help you get your goals because we're going to work on those deeper things that are causing you not to get there.
I love that. really looking at the cause instead of just the incidences themselves.
Yeah, because when you find the triggers, when you find what, you know, it's one thing to say, here's what happened. Well, what caused that to happen? Now we can make changes. And I think the other thing, and different people have different styles, but, you know, if you're not sticking to whatever your exercise program is or your health you're eating, another thing that I ask people is, well, is it fun? I mean, I am all about life is supposed to be fun. I don't care whether we're talking about your work or your health or your relationships. Everything I teach and coach about is living life and your life to its fullest. And so if it's not fun, that's another really key question is, well, how can I make this fun? If you just dread whatever exercise you've set out for yourself, then stop doing that and come up with something that's more fun for you to move your body, right?
Totally. I'm with you on that attitude.
Yeah.
Lori, one of the things that I think is so special about what you teach is about, like, health transitions. And we're all often in health transitions, pregnancy, illness. We're all aging. We get injured. Can you share some of the tips and strategies that you have for navigating our health changes?
Absolutely. And, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are or what's going on. You know, the only constant in life is change, says Greek philosopher Heraclitus, right? And that's
right.
The truth. Our bodies are going to continue to grow and change over time, not only the natural aging process, maybe you're pregnant or you're postpartum, maybe you have a sudden or chronic injury or illness. The health transition could be a short-term one, or it might be something that's long-term or permanent. But the key to health transitions is that, you know, you're no longer where you were, but you're also not where you want to be. And so some of the key things there are really, as I said, it's so human, it's so natural that we get mad, right? Like, oh, my gosh, you know, I can't believe that I am experiencing this right now. Like, I'm now in my 40s, and I have to wear reading glasses. This is terrible. I was so proud of my 20/20 vision, you know? I had braces and zits, but I had good eyes. I was so proud of that. And you go, okay, or, you know, how can I have a bad knee? I'm 25 and I'm so active and I have three kids and I'm trying to run around and I don't have the resources to get a nanny and get help. This is the worst time. And so we do, again, go into anger at first. And so some of the key work that I do with folks around the transitions is how, as you said earlier, how can I change my attitude, right, from anger to acceptance is the next stage of, well, how can I be okay with this? And part of that is what we talked about before and paying attention to, oh, maybe there's some critical lessons and messages my body wants to tell me that not only is this okay, but this is really important that this is happening to me right now for me in my life. And when you get through the acceptance stage, then you move to the amusement stage, where it even becomes kind of funny or fun. And a great story I'll tell you on that is I went down to, I don't know if you know Essel, and it's this great retreat center in Big Sur, California. And there was this really fun, like sort of, I don't know how to describe it, like hippie kind of free-form dance workshop. It was fun, like, you know, being a Jersey girl who now lives in California, I just, you know, my relatives would be like, oh, my God, but I was having a ball. And anyway, we were doing this warm-up where there was this very evocative music, and the instructor said, well, just move your body any way that you choose. And I was fascinated as I watched this woman who was probably in her 70s, who was just very slowly kind of waving back and forth from only from the waist up, but with her arms in the air and waving back and forth very gently, almost like she was, again, this piece of grass in the breeze. And she had a huge grin on her face. She was just completely lost in this movement. And I went up to her afterward, and I said, I couldn't help but notice how much fun you were having and what a unique dance you were doing. And she just smiled at me and laughed, and she said, oh, honey, my knees went out years ago. She said, you think I could do freeform dance for 10 minutes? Like, that's not happening. So she said, so now I just dance the rest of me.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's really, really nice. And I know that you that one of the things you teach is how to make movement fun and how to make fitness feel fun and not like a chore. Do you have some fun tips you can share that you share with your clients that feel really doable in terms of getting fun exercise?
Absolutely. Like I said, I'm all about fun. I mean, if it's not fun, I'm not doing it. It's just life's too short, right? So, and not to say that, you know, there aren't some tasks we have to do that aren't fun, but when it comes to your body, you want to be having a good time. And, yeah, I think some of the, you know, some of the more fun things are to ask yourself when it, because look at exercise not as, you know, people think exercise, they instantly kind of, I don't know, they think of like gym memberships or drudge work or dun-dun-dun-dun, like, I don't know, it suddenly gets very heavy. But if I say, well, how do you like to move your body, just in general? What do you do for fun when you want to take a break from work? And some people will say, oh, I like riding my bike on the weekend, or oh, I absolutely love to dance, or, you know, for me, I love being in nature. Okay, great, now we're getting somewhere. And so if you love to dance, well, shoot, you know, pull down the shades, crank the music, and dance around in your pajamas or your underwear. I mean, I do that every weekend. That's my exercise, the whole, like, risky business, you know, Tom Cruise routine. And, you know, nobody can see me. The doors are closed, whatever. I'm just having so much fun, and I'm sweating by the end. I'm laughing, and I'm sweating. I have these different dance mixes, you know, depending on whether I'm feeling energetic or, you know, kind of reflective. And so that is really fun for me personally. I have a friend, Jen, who just is one of these bikeaholics. And seriously, what I would, you know, do in a week-long trip, she does as her daily bicycle, like 100 miles or whatever this woman does, because nothing makes her feel more fun and more relaxed than when she's just screaming through the hills on her bicycle. And I have another, you know, older client who, she loves nature, and she wasn't moving her body at all. And so I said, okay, well, I want you to, and she didn't live near nature. She lived in a city. I said, well, I want you to go out and walk around the city streets and go find your three favorite trees within a mile of where you live. And so her job, you know, was every day was to go out and find three new trees because she was really into trees. And that got her out and walking around and exploring. It was fun for her because she was just on like a little nature scavenger hunt, you know?
That's really cute and sounds very, very nice and perfect for her. Lori, at this point, I usually ask my guests to share some of the amazing turnarounds that they've seen in their clients' lives as a result of working with them and their programs. Can you share some? I know you have so many, but can you share one or two?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the first ones I'll share is, this is a, and names have been changed for the innocent or whatever that disclaimer is, so I'll call her Susie, but this was a single mom who had been raising her kids by herself, ooh boy, pretty much since the kids were 11 and 13 years old, and so I think she was probably in her late 20s when she got divorced, and for her, her issue, she unfortunately had a husband who was not, or an ex-husband, who was not in a position to financially help out. And so for her, she was working three different jobs trying to support her kids. So exercise, I mean, that was like, seriously, it's all I can do to sleep, you know, throw anything into my mouth and take care of my kids. And definitely the healthy eating was not happening. Like you said, the high sugar granola bars, or I think she was eating worse stuff than that. But just anything, because she was in mama bear mode, right? Like must take care of these kids. And so for her, the trick was really using some of these techniques we talked about within her time frame. She didn't have a lot of time to cook, and she was constantly on the go. And we had to find ways of moving her body that fit into her lifestyle. So for her, doing techniques like don't park right on top of the entrance when she went shopping or when she had to go work in office buildings with her various clients, she had to walk a little bit back and forth. That gave her 10, 15 minutes of exercise, even just getting to and from the car, using the stairs, not the elevator. So we had to do these really crammed-in techniques. But I have to tell you, not only did she drop a lot of the body fat that she wanted to burn, but the biggest success story with her was that her stress levels rapidly decreased. And another thing that was important for her was music. Music is also, research has shown, is a proven stress reliever. So when we exercise to music, we burn more calories. And so I had her, when she was driving in the car, like chair dancing, you know, when she was stuck at the traffic lights, to her radio. And so her stress levels, which affect hormones, her stress levels went down, her hormones got back in balance, she burned her fat, and she was a lot less anxious and stressed out with her kids all the time. So it had a whole body, holistic impact on her, just those few little changes.
Wow, that's awesome. And I know that you have put together a special offer for our Borrowed Wisdom community, which I would love for you to share so that they can get the kind of results that that your clients have been getting. Can you explain what that is? You can all find it at www.borrowedwisdom.com/Lauri, L-A-U-R-I-E. Lauri, can you explain what you're offering everyone?
Absolutely. So what I'm offering is called I Want My Body Back, 30 Days to Becoming the Healthiest and Fittest You Never Were.
Mm-hmm.
And what this is it's a 30-day personalized coaching program. Because what I have found for myself and working with others is that there is no one-size-fits-all diet. There's no one-size-fits-all exercise plan. It's really important that whatever program you do is specifically tailored to your body, your goals, your particular lifestyle and needs. And that's where it's important for me as your coach, and I have folks who work with me do a lot of worksheets, we're in communication, but it's important that we're working specifically on things that will work for you. And so what you get from this program is you get two different you get a transformational audio seminar. So you get 60-minute workshop called I Want My Body Back, which goes over a lot of the things that we're talking about, what the research and practice is showing now, how to make it fun, how to reach your goals, how to get through health transitions. I also have self-guided worksheets that you can do. You'll have three different personalized phone coaching sessions with me. There's an option for you to do ongoing email Q&A as well. But essentially, it's 30 days where you're going to commit. And I say that very seriously. You're going to commit. I want my body back. And I can, for 1 month, I can do anything. And I'm going to work with Lauri and figure out my goals and my next steps. And I'm going to be accountable to somebody for a month, as well as myself, and really make a difference in changing my life.
Oh, that's awesome. And I know you're offering it for such an affordable price for our community, and I so appreciate it. Again, that's www.borrowedwisdom.com/Lauri, L-A-U-R-I-E. Lauri, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing some of your strategies and wisdom. I know that the work you do can be the real foundation for change for people, so I just so appreciate you being here with us and sharing all of some of your wonderful wisdom today. Thanks.
Well, Alexis, I am just so passionate about this, not only because it's been such a huge part of my own life, having a better body image and feeling better about my body, but especially with women. I mean, I don't need to even get on that soapbox, but it's just so important that women today, we have so much going on, we're doing so many things. It's more important now than ever that we're healthy and feeling good about ourselves and our bodies.
Absolutely, and I know we have some male listeners too, and the same goes for you.
Oh, absolutely.
Just a reminder to everyone, if you invest in the Borrowed Wisdom for a Better Body recordings package, you can replay this interview with Lauri and all the others whenever you want. You can find that at borrowedwisdom.com/own, O-W-N, and join us online. Our community is there, and we're sharing more wisdom from our experts and inspiration and practices that you can start using right now. On Facebook, you can search for us, Borrowed Wisdom, and on Twitter, we're borrowed_wisdom. This is Alexis Joy sending you lots of love. Until next time.